The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Mr. Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Friday's Man in Line on Manx Radio. It's an open line today, so call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp on 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Whatever's on your mind. Well, yesterday, the Treasury Minister was in, reflecting on the UK Chancellor of the Exchequer's budget the day before. And I got a message from Alice, who said, one thing that wasn't addressed yesterday is this 3p per mile levy that there's going to be on electric vehicles in the UK. Now, apparently, that's going to, every time an EV goes in for a service, do they get serviced? Anyway, they'll have to go into an MOT registered garage, and the mileage will then be registered, and then it'll then be reconciled. I think EV owners are going to have a direct debit or a standing order every month to pay for this. As we don't do MOTs on the Isle of Man, how's that going to work? And are we going to levy the 3p per mile on electric vehicles that they are in the UK? Interesting point. Thanks for that, Alice. Good to hear from you. And a note in from Joe, who said, I note with interest the UK MOD, British Aerospace Wharton, have objected to the wind farm within Manx coastal waters. I was part of the airport team who attended a public review of the extension of the Walney Island wind farm over 8 years ago. Says Joe, we were objecting to the extension of the Walney Island farm based on the effect it would have on the primary radar system at Ronaldsway. Needless to say, we were unsuccessful. The steam packet also attended, objecting on the grounds of safety within respect to sea navigation. Now, at the time of the public hearing, which was held at the Villa Marina, BAE Wharton weren't objecting as they'd already obtained approval from the UK to impose a transponder mandatory zone. Get that? Transponder mandatory zone over the wind farm, which meant that any aircraft flying within the zone had to have a serviceable transponder, which is basically a radar system that responds to interrogation by a ground system rather than rely on a reflection from a traditional primary radar system. Are you following this? Our argument was, says Joe, that any aircraft, commercial or light, that had an electrical failure and therefore no transponder would be invisible to our radar. Now, given the amount of light aircraft that fly over the sea and talk to Ronaldsway, we felt it was a safety issue. Joe goes on, given that the proposed wind farm is within Manx territorial waters and airspace, any transponder mandatory zone would, I understand, have to be imposed by the Isle of Man Civil Aviation Administration. I suspect this is what the MOD and British Aerospace Wharton will be after. Wind farms propagate multiple reflections from their blades, and because they're moving, the radar can't distinguish them from aircraft. The net result being that they flood the area with large radar return, in which any aircraft flying without a transponder is invisible. There are newer radar systems available now which infill the area of the wind farm. They're expensive and should be paid for by the wind farm developer. This happened at Hawarden Airport near Chester, which is paid for, I understand, by the developers of the Liverpool Bay wind farm. I would hope, says Joe, that the airport has already objected to the offshore wind farm and the onshore wind farm at Irrestain on the grounds of safety, if they're approved. It should be on condition that the primary infill radar system is provided by the developers of the site at no cost to the airport budget. Well, I hope you followed that. It basically says we're going to have some new kit and somebody's going to have to pay for it in a roundabout way. And we will see exactly what's going to happen. Obviously, Orsted have acknowledged the fact that British Aerospace Wharton has had something to say about the offshore wind farm, and it's a huge thing. These things are 1,200 feet high. We'll see. Aside from that, Ramsey Marina. Well, this takes me back. When I started on Man in Line in 1998, one of the things that was right about the, apart from the fact that everybody hated the Ben McCree and everybody said that Manx Airlines were charging far too much. Funny, isn't it? It was the Ramsey Marina and a company called Dean and Dybul who ran into a firestorm of protest for the proposals for the Ramsey Marina, which was going to be in Ramsey Harbour. Well, now the marina that's proposed, or was proposed, is going to be on South Beach. And Laurie Hooper has had something to say about it. He says plans for the new marina in Ramsey aren't as dead as people think they are. The plans, which include berths for 400 yachts, were unveiled 6 years ago. Although the project hasn't progressed. Now, Laurie Hooper's asking Keys for leave to introduce a bill preventing any future development on South Beach. He said Timwell's rejection of the North and West area plan forced him to take action. What do you think about this? The marina for South Beach. The people who propose it say it's going to bring enormous financial benefit, commerce and trade to Ramsey. Obviously, it will fairly well change the look of South Beach in Ramsey. This is Laurie Hooper.
So this was something that came up quite strongly through the election process, that actually there was a lot of real concern about potential overdevelopment and development on the South Beach. And I made a very clear commitment to my constituents that I would try and prevent that. I would do whatever I could that was within my gift to make sure that didn't happen, that we protected that public open space for future generations. And up until this point, I've been telling people to just trust the process, because there's a planning process, an area planning process that's going through. Everyone can make their case, and the planning inspector will then make recommendations, and the planning area plan will come out, and that was always going to result in a protection for that area of the town, for the beach. And so there wasn't really a need to do anything. We could just let the process play itself out. Unfortunately, what happened at the end of that process is Timwell then rejected the plan. So all of that work, all of that potential protection has now gone. And actually, I'm not convinced that's going to come back anytime soon. My concern here is now that that may be out the window for the next 5 years or more. So really, I'm not left with any other options other than to say, okay, well, let's go one step further then and take this whole thing outside of the planning process and just enshrine in primary law the thing that the planning process was going to do anyway with that area plan, which says basically that's a beach, it's a public open space, you can't build on it. It's not rocket science.
This obviously relates a lot to the plans for the marina development on the South Beach area as well. And as we understand, there are currently no active plans to continue with that scheme. So is this bill really necessary to bring this forward now?
The marina development plans have come and gone. They keep coming around every couple of years. I know they're not as dead as we'd like to think they are. I think there are still active conversations and lots of active support from certain quarters for that. And so I don't think it's as certain as we'd like it to be that this thing isn't going to happen. And so the only way to put it beyond doubt really is to do something like this.
Any thoughts on this? That if you live in and around the north, you'll know there's skeet all the time about, yes, the marina is going to happen. Yes, they've got the money. No, they haven't got the money. Yes, they've got the will. No, they haven't got the will. So who knows what's going to happen? In theory, I just wonder what your thoughts are about this. It is fairly well known that marinas do bring financial benefit. I mean, look at the difference to Peel. Now, Peel has a marina. Nowhere else has got one. Well, I mean, Douglas has a small one, but nobody quite knows who half the boats belong to in Douglas Marina. So if Ramsey were to have, and again, this is what is it now, nearly 30 years old, this idea. It was fairly well blown out of the water 25 plus years ago. So I just wonder what you think. Do you think Laurie Hooper is just being a bit risk averse where this is concerned, asking Tynwald and Keys to do this, a bill to prevent development on South Beach? Any thoughts? Text, email, call, WhatsApp. The sun is shining brilliantly in Ballajora, says Daphne. Well, thank you for that. I've always said electric cars would cost up ending more to use. I'll stick with my V8, says this correspondent. Well, thank you for that. And also, isn't the interim director of the airport an ex-military air traffic controller? He certainly is. Mr. Pugh, I think, was Fleet Air Arm. You should think he would have made a submission to Moore Vanning consultation and raised issues as the Ministry of Defence. If it's going to affect our airport, he has the freedom to address this, particularly as the minister has said she doesn't get involved in operational issues. We don't know that he didn't. And the point of this is, if there is technology available that can obviously bypass the effect that these whizzing turbines would make, then it depends who's going to pay for it, doesn't it? We'll see, shall we? The promenade is what it is with many defects. We spent $28 million on it initially. Since it was finished, there's been no maintenance on it. Is it still under warranty? If so, then somebody in government should be acting on it. If it's out of warranty, it should be maintained, says Paul. You can go every 10 yards and see issues that sooner or later will become big issues. Would you buy a £28 million yacht and not maintain it? Something needs to be done about this. Is it under guarantee or isn't it? Says Paul regarding the promenade in Douglas. Here's David with us now. Hello, David.
Hi, Andy. Just listening to the Treasury Minister yesterday, but stepping right into Ramsey, and I've nothing to do with Ramsey at all. I don't have any relations. I might have some friends in Ramsey, but I just wonder what a politician is getting involved in going to have primary legislation to stop something happening in planning. Why do you think we have a planning committee? Why do we think we have planning inspectors that come to the Isle of Man? Does he want nothing to happen in Ramsey or the rest of the Isle of Man? I just can't believe what he's coming to. Quite rightly, you said at the beginning there too, look at Peel now. People go to Peel, the harbour. People put boats in there. I know for a fact, in my term in Parliament anyway, people have boats based in the Isle of Man because A, it's cheaper, and B, it's quicker to get to Ireland, Scotland, England or Wales. You just fly into the Isle of Man, pick your boat up, and there you go. And that's what we should be looking at, all these different things up there. And I'm assuming Will's reaching for the phone, but he'll probably, I know Will quite well, negative view on it. But what you've got to look at is when we're not here, is what the future of Ramsey is going to be, or different places in the Isle of Man. And planning is definitely one of them where you don't want politicians to interfere at all because they just kill it. And I just wonder what's the reasoning behind it.
I wonder.
The other thing I was going to say about the Treasury Minister yesterday, yeah, a little bit missed, I couldn't get on anyway, but never mind, ran out of time, is that the Treasury Minister didn't mention, I was going to ask him the question, he's probably listening in today to make sure somebody's commenting about him, and I will, is say to him, what's happening when the Chief Minister took over the portfolio from Mr. Krugle from Peel to look at savings and initiatives that are going to come forward which will actually make us money or encourage people to come to the Isle of Man? And regarding, as far as I'm concerned, the people that live here who come to the Isle of Man because mostly because of safety and the quality of life, and look at it in the Isle of Man. Where can you walk down the streets and bump into all sorts of people? And sometimes there's millionaires running around, isn't there?
Everywhere. You wouldn't even know some of them.
Well, yes, I know. But I was just going to say the major thing is with planning is politicians need to leave it alone and it has to go through a system. Why do we have a planning committee? Why do we have a planning chairman? And why do we have an appeals inspector? And sometimes government's projects don't go through, do they? And what about the terrace down on the promenade there, the railway, you know, the building down there? What is the minister going to do?
Well, it's in the plan, isn't it? It's got to be sorted. It's in the plan, and that includes extending the horse trams to the sea terminal as well.
My view on that is she's just thrown that into the mix because the horse cars, you put something extra in, that's another $500,000 to it. So I don't know how much money we've got. And it just reminded me the other night when we had a municipal meeting there, when builders and developers put plans in and then put a development, and they can't put in for first-time buyers' houses or properties which would give first-time buyers a chance.
Yeah.
They put into a fund called there is a fund within government, and it's, I'm not quite sure whether it's under Treasury or whether Treasury Minister's listening, he could tell us that. whether the fund is occupied by them, and where does that money go to? There must be some millions in that now.
That's interesting. Yeah, it's when they choose not to put affordable properties in any development, they then
they call it Section 13 agreement.
That's it. Yeah, they then have to pay a fee, which kind of exempts them, don't they?
Yeah, and the other thing is, just quickly, and I'm just one of commissioners in Ogden, is we're looking for land, and government's sitting on land, the back of Doughty's and the old gas plant up at Ashley Park there. Why can't we get the land from them? I know we've been knocked back, or they say they've got a scheme for different things. What are the schemes? It's the same with all the two pubs they've got. What else? We've got Summerland. We've got all sorts of things. A car park down in Douglas.
The old prison. You know?
Yeah, the old prison. There's a set of full drawings for that. And don't forget, next to the prison now, you've got Eastcliff.
Yes, of course.
Which is now vacant. Yeah, it's a big old vacant building. It's probably going to be demolished, I would think, because it's to go upstairs, you've got up a spiral staircase and bits and pieces like that. It's too old. We need to modernise ourselves, don't we?
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Anyway, listen.
Have a good weekend.
I'm just going to say, I'm making 1 or 2 kilowatts of power, so I'm up to 5%. Okay. What's the government doing? Nothing. All right, leave it at you.
Thanks for that. Here's Howard with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. A remark you made before that the marinas, Douglas Peel, and possibly sometime in the future, probably not in my lifetime, are helping to make money. But one thing that's never mentioned, government, Peel, commissioners, anybody, is the maintenance of these, and particularly in Peel, where it was designed in such a way that the river still flows into the harbour.
Yeah.
But originally, the river would flow out of the harbour and take any residue out to sea. Now it can't. So they have a large pit of bottoms stored somewhere, out of Poor Town somewhere, which is costing a small fortune. And how much is that eating into the fees that are paid by the people in the various marinas?
You see, I wonder, surely at the time somebody must have thought, if you're going to block the river, the Neb, if you're going to block that river, then the contaminants are going to come down from the deads. They're going to come down, they're going to sit there, and you can't just flush it out to sea. That was got us into trouble in the first place. So, as you say, this stuff is sitting out there just contaminating.
Well, it would go out in a much more gentle form, whereas now they have a large build-up of it, particularly in Peel, because the river could have been put down to the left-hand side and flowed down through there and straight out to sea. And the marina filled by the tide on an ebb and flow basis. But they wanted as much room as they could, and this is the problem now, that the river is still flowing down, bringing in what we now term as contaminants, but they are being retained by the walls and building up into such a quantity that they have to be physically removed and stored in purpose-built storage facilities. I think they're out of Poor Town somewhere. Which they don't know what they're going to do with now because of the amount of contamination. They've got very little room now to move to put any more, if any. And Douglas, well, older people like myself will remember, they used to have a Caterpillar tractor in the harbour. Alan Craig was driving it. It was the harbour board. And they used to always push the mud and slurry as the tide went out down the harbour before the marina was built. That was pushed down through and down to where one of the berths were. We went past the old steam packet berth and down onto the lip where it went into the croak, and of course the Manana dredger was there and she would keep that clear. But not now. They have to physically, and there was Stephen Carter's company, Laxitone. They were doing the job there to the best of their ability, but that still has to be disposed of. And what cost is falling on the marinas, on the government, the people of the island, to keep these two small marinas that are supposed to be making a fortune? One of the other things, and something I found out the other day, I never really thought about. I was talking to a chap as an electric van. I've got one, it's diesel. And it's rated at carrying about a ton or more. The electric vans, the gross weight on an electric van now must have to be reduced because of the weight of the battery. And this chap said to me, he said, I'm going down with my electric van. It's a reasonable size, a largest transit is going to carry over a ton. And the people told him, don't bring that damn thing down here. I'm not mixing so much cement to go into the back of that because I can only make smaller quantities now to keep your van within the legal gross weight.
Wow.
Now, do people buy these electric vehicles and do the firms that sell them advertise the fact that the gross weight of that vehicle is reduced? Because if you've got a, I found out many years ago from a vehicle I was driving, it was a 16-ton vehicle, but when it was fully loaded and I put it on the weighbridge, it was 19-ton. So it had to be altered physically with the load carrying capacity to bring it down to its legal weight. So if people are putting a ton, ton and a half in these vans, in electric vans, then are they overweight on the road?
You would have thought the people, you know, the companies, the dealerships that supply commercial electric vehicles would pass all this on, Howard.
Well, I don't know. I haven't got one. But it'd be interesting to know, do they? Has that vehicle gross weight been reduced because of the weight of the battery?
Right.
In other words, its carrying capacity is less.
Okay.
So are these people passing this information on to prospective or past buyers? Are they passing it on, that information, that they will no longer be able to carry a ton? Okay. They'll only carry 3/4 of a ton.
Okay. Well, if anybody's got a commercial electric vehicle and wants to just clue us up on that, it will be interesting to know. But and also, it'll be interesting to know whether there's a second-hand market in electric vehicle, commercial vehicles as well.
Personally, I wouldn't buy one because it costs you a small fortune to replace a battery. But it's the same goes for the buses. The gross tonnage on the buses, they used to be about 11 ton. If you put a damn big battery in the back of that, that's going to put the gross weight up, although it's a different kettle of fish in a sense, but the gross weight is what is the valuation of the vehicle and its work factor.
Okay. All right, Howard, we appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
Take care. Bye now.
Bye-bye now. Is it true that we get cheaper electricity from 7 till midnight, says John? Well, some people do get cheaper electricity. I'm not quite sure for what periods or particularly what it's used for. Here's a note in from 604, just said, I've seen the Ramsey flood defence improvements and I'm concerned about the disruption this is going to cause. What about the north shore of the harbour? What happens there? My solution will be to consider a harbour gate similar to the one at Peel that will bypass all the destruction that will be caused in the town over a number of years. I'm sure it'll be expensive, but it'll be comparable with the planned works. I would have thought, and the plots will be, that the harbour will be continually at high tide, more pleasing to the eye, and will be better from a health and safety issue, just a thought, but it makes probably too much sense to be considered, says that correspondent. And just a word to the wise, today is the last time for the drop-in sessions for the new flood defences at Ramsey. It's at the Ramsey Town Hall. They're holding drop-in sessions for you to look at the plans and provide feedback, have your say. Town Hall, usual opening hours today from 9:30 till 4:30 today, and if you want to have a word and just see what the proposals are, apparently it's going to lose some parking, and that didn't go down well before, because one thing that Ramsey prides itself in is free parking. Lots of bills have been shelved or postponed by departments, so Mr. Hooper knows that nothing will go through before the next election. Is this an election campaign? Says Gaz. You'll have to ask him. In Ramsey, regarding the South Beach and the marina, you can go anywhere in the world, and regardless of the ownership of the vessels, marinas are meccas for people and businesses. Ramsey can have a commercial harbour, as now, but a marina will bring life to a pretty uninspiring waterfront, says Ali. Is this true? Is South Beach uninspiring, or is it just South Beach? Can be very pretty in the summer. Martin said, as a Ramsey man and a commissioner for Ramsey, I do feel that we need fully to evaluate our needs and wishes for the future of Ramsey Seafront as a whole. So we rule out development on the beach. It might be a new pier, disabled access, slipway or flood defences. Laurie Hooper's looking for votes in the election, says Chris. Thank you. Thank you, Chris, for that. Well, Laurie Hooper is a politician, let's face it. And Robert's on now. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well, thanks.
I've got 3 or 4 points. Go on for a bit. First of all, thank you so much to the Christian Science Church. They put on a Thanksgiving meal, because it was Thanksgiving recently, I don't know if you remember that. And they had all the old politicians there, and Peter Caron and a few others were there, and it was a really good day. Loads of people turned up, and we had cakes and things like that. So put it in the calendar for next budget day around this time to go up there. The second point is, it's Black Friday today, yeah? So,
Black Friday, that's the day when you can buy things at roughly the same price that they are for the rest of the year, isn't it?
Well, I think it's incessant, you know, it's incessant. There are things connected to your brain, which are connected to, you know, TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and things like that, which are all going off at the moment, all massively simulated. What you'll need is to get a second account for those people who've got my cards and things like that set up with HSBC. Get a second account with HSBC and start saving up for, you know, January, February and things like that, and all the rest of it. So that's the main point. As far as Howard's, I was thinking about what he was saying about vehicles. Chris Thomas himself has got a normal petrol van. So, you know, it's not all electric vehicles. Not everyone's doing it. So that's all I have to say about that. And I wish him well.
All right. All right, Robert. Good to hear from you. Thanks for being with us today. The same rules, says Cy, apply to EVs as they do for ICE, internal combustion engine vehicles. So why would it be any different? It's just that the electric vehicles are a lot, lot heavier than internal combustion engines. So it would affect how much they can take. Obviously, wouldn't it? Because if there's a gross weight limit, then you would be able to load less in an EV, a commercial EV, because they weigh a lot more. Am I following that? Here's Julian now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. I think your logic's quite correct there. I seem to remember JCB were trying an earth mover, and I think the earth mover was 20 tonnes and the battery was 8 tonnes or something ridiculous. So I don't think that's any kind of a starter when it comes to battery-operated heavy vehicles. Just speaking of the EVs, so if it's going to be 3p per mile levy,
yeah,
well, that's going to be a few hundred quid extra, isn't it?
Well,
if you multiply that out across
the year.
Yeah,
it depends how much you do. I mean, do EVs, they don't pay road tax, sorry, not road tax, whatever it's called nowadays, do they pay road tax?
Well, the goalposts are moving so quick. And not forgetting, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the electricity price go up by 2.1 pence not too long ago? So that's gone from 28.5p to 29.1p a unit now. So if you're charging a car hour after hour after hour across the year, you've got another bit more now, haven't you, as well, on top of the...
Well, I mean,
if you do 10,000...
Anybody who bought an electric vehicle and thought they'd get away without paying surely is a bit naive. I mean, the government will never let you get away without paying. If the left hand doesn't get you, the right one will.
Yeah, and, you know, the commitment for decarbonisation is to get all the ICE vehicles off the road. So, assuming you don't mind doing that in the middle of Alaska in the middle of winter time, or in Saudi Arabia when it's 50 degrees in the summertime and the batteries are having to cool themselves. Just a quick follow-up to yesterday. I asked the Treasury Minister, why are 676 people on the island being paid benefits that exceed a full-time wage, which is costing us about £17.7 million a year? His answer was quite interesting. I'll quote what he said to me. We pay out about 40,000 benefits each year, predominantly pensions. Since when's a pension a benefit, Andy?
Yeah, okay, I appreciate the question.
Yeah, because it's an earned statutory entitlement, or otherwise known as a deferred contractual right. So when you're saying we pay out about 40,000 benefits each year, predominantly pensions, sorry, but a pension is not a benefit. We've paid for that, and we are entitled to it. And benefits, they get paid out for as long as the qualifying conditions are met, not forgetting that some of the conditions that can get you on benefits are consequences of alcohol and drug addiction. So it's not just people, you know, that have been born with things or they've had accidents or they're in wheelchairs for whatever reason. It can be as a result of alcoholism and drug abuse as well. So I don't know. That's £3 million more than what the bailout was for Manx Care in July for their overspend.
Well, I don't want to speak for the politicians. It's not my job, but I think I know what they probably say is that the politicians don't want to make moral judgments about people's lifestyle choices.
Yeah, but, you know, when you say things like that, it's downplaying the contributory nature of pensions, and it might inflate the impression of welfare dependency. You're going to confuse the public about how much is spent on means-tested support versus the earned settlements. And, you know, there's been some interesting talk a year ago, almost exactly. Laurie Hooper suggested raiding the public sector pension reserve to finance the Kervai wind farm in the south of the island. So, you know, what is the attitude of government towards our pensions? If you're talking about bunging up a wind farm with some economic assertions that are completely fly in the face of the reality of what's being found anywhere else in the UK. And then you look at Rachel Reeves' budget. I think it was described as a budget for benefit street. I mean, are we following the UK on this one as well, potentially?
Well, it depends. And this is all down to politicians, isn't it? It depends what politicians come into politics for. Now, many politicians come into politics to say they want to help people. And this may qualify as helping people, Julian.
Yeah, but, you know, in another way, you could look at this as ushering in universal credit, where you're going to get everyone on the hook. And look at the rate at which businesses are going under. Look at what was said at the forum the other day, that more than half of businesses on the island are either going to have to make severe cuts or they're going to have to make redundancies. So the trajectory is kind of going in the direction there's going to be an awful lot of people that are going to be dependent on the government. So is that something to do with some kind of way of getting universal credit over all of us? I don't know.
Okay. All right, Julian, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling. Have a good weekend now.
You too, Andy. Cheers.
A big thank you to your workmen. They've done a very good job. My property looks like new again. Thank you, EPS.
We're delighted with the house. Your employees obviously take great pride in their work.
The work was done promptly, professionally and considerately.
EPS, transforming properties island-wide with the revolutionary Protex wall covering system. Guaranteed for 10 years. Call 627191 and book now for spring and get 10% off.
A good job. Well done.
Dear Santa, this Christmas I would like more customers and more sales, please. I have been very good.
There are more reliable ways to make sure your business gets what it needs this winter. At Manx Radio, we'll create tailor-made advertising solutions to get you the results you want over the festive season and into the new year. Call our friendly sales team now on 682620 and give your business a really happy Christmas and New Year with the nation station, Manx Radio.
Can I have a new bike too?
No, buy your own.
Oh,
greetings from the North. No, not the North Pole. I'm enjoying a day out in Ramsey. I've found
friendly pubs and eateries, at the Garden Centre, Christmas trees, lights and decorations are sparkling. And as for shopping, well, let's just say that Mrs. Claus will love her Prezi. Come and discover Ramsay's independent and exclusive shops for clothing, jewellery, electrical goods, handmade gifts and more. For Christmas, Ramsay has it all. Brought to you by W.S. Mezeron. Proud to be in Ramsay.
Are you winter ready? Don't leave your heating oil order till it's too late. Call Ellen Van and Fuels on 844-000 and our friendly team will do the rest. 844-000. Winter's sorted with Ellen Van and Fuels.
As our loved ones age, they carry not only the memories of the past, but also the uncertainties of the future. Secure tomorrow today with Man Benham's guidance on enduring powers of attorney and more.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
There's Wealth with us now. Hi, Wealth.
Hiya. Well, it's obvious what I've got to come on for. Yes. There's several things, but anyway. South Beach will never have a marina on it because it's the best bathing beach in the island. The safest bathing beach. There's no currents. And everybody uses it in Ramsay that goes on the beach. And they're not going to give it up. Now, Mr. Hooper fetching it up again. Whether it's some sort of election thing, I don't know. But it ain't doing any harm for to bring it up again. Now, everybody's on about Peel Marina, what it's done yeah. for Peel. It hasn't done anything for Peel. Nothing. All you do, Howard has been on. He had everything dead right, as usual, with Howard. When it was a normal harbour, the river ran down through and gone. Now, no one even mentioned toxic waste. It's just happened because it's all held back now with a gate. Now, years ago, I was... When Peter Cadham was in government, I asked him, and he tried several times. I said, Peter, what I want you to do is, can you find out how much it costs to have the marina in Peel and them keep digging the silt out and all the rest of it as against what people pay to be there. He could never get an answer.
Well,
they wouldn't give him an answer.
That's fairly straightforward. I mean, surely somebody's got the figure somewhere of how much it costs to park a boat in Peel Marina and how much it costs to dig it out.
Yeah, but,
surely.
But what they did to twist it round, he said, they're lumping the harbours together and saying what all the harbours make against the marina. They wouldn't separate it. They took in Douglas Harbour, how much Douglas Harbour made with harbour dues with our passenger boats, and added that on. But they wouldn't give him a proper figure of what had happened, of one against the other. They just wouldn't do it. And they still haven't done it. And they never will do it. Because it costs more to have it with that gate on in Peel than the money it makes with boats in there. Because a lot of them now, I believe, don't pay at all. Because they're stuck in the mud in there. Can't get out anyway. They just go up and down. You see very few boats go through that gate. Very few. An odd fishing boat. It's all right for them because they can sail in and it keeps the weather from them. But apart from that, pleasure boats, well, I don't see anybody anywhere near them.
Well,
they look nice.
If there's ever going to be a marina in Ramsey, where would it have to be then? Not South Beach, not in the harbour. Where would it be?
Well, I told them North Beach. Because you've got 6 miles there to play with, right down to the point of air. You can do what you like there, but you see, they won't take that on because you've got the sewer empties onto there. So they can't do that because the sewer empties 24 hours a day onto North Beach.
Right.
That's why no one swims or does anything on North Beach. Only walk the dog.
Right.
South Beach is the thing. We'll always have South Beach. Oh, the other thing is too. I'm still sort of in my chair. I haven't got out of the house for 4 days. To go and look at this thing in the town hall.
Right.
Anyway, a fellow went and looked at it for me, and he said that the wall that they want to put up, they've put it to now shoulder height of an average person.
Shoulder height?
Which is 1.3 metres. So I don't know how tall people are, but anyway, that's the way it works. That's the way short people can't see the harbour at all.
Right.
Or anybody in a wheelchair or anybody in a pram. That's finished.
And is it true this proposal is only on the quay side? It's not on the other side, on the shipyard side. Is there going to be a wall over there as well?
Nothing over there up to now, as far as I know. That's not been mentioned because I don't think there's a big lot of flooding going. It does flood onto the shipyard, but not a big lot. I think the houses are on a bit of a slope there.
Right.
As you go back, and I can't remember the tide ever doing much there because I wasn't interested that side.
Mm.
It was always this side. Anyway, we as the commissioners, as soon as the planning goes in, we are going to object. And they're objecting, and everybody actually, believe it or not, in the commission, listen to me. And they've picked up on what I would do. And they're going to write to the government and say, this is what we want, not what you want.
Right.
And it boils down to, well, they've altered the thing slightly, the height. I say a 2-foot wall, but our commissioners have put it as a half a metre. To be modern.
Have you got any memories, Wilf, of that time 25 odd years ago when the Ramsey Marina was proposed?
I got a lot of fun. Yes. Still got paperwork here.
It has to be said, you played merry hell with the people there, didn't you?
Exactly. You couldn't. Where are we talking now? Are we talking in the harbour, the old harbour?
Yeah.
We weren't talking about on the beach as such then.
No, it was the old harbour.
It was the old harbour. Well, you haven't got the time to listen to me, but the old harbour will not work because it's porous. The tide comes in, it goes through the bottom, and it goes out under the swimming pool, the new swimming pool, and runs out on the beach. You put a gate on there, and the tide will go out, and it'll go out there as well, even with the gate on. And all your fancy boats will fall over.
Right.
So it just doesn't work.
All right, well.
What you need there... It wants pile driving all around the edge of the old harbour, deep enough so that it's the same depth as under the swing bridge, if you like. And then pontoons put in there that boats can lie against and let them go up and down with the pontoons, and they come and go as they want. No gate on. It's got to be dug out to the right depth so the water will, the boat will float at the same time as they do everywhere else in the harbour. Then it would be a nice, tight harbour. It won't make any more money. I shouldn't think, but it's somewhere for all the yachts to go, and they'll be able to get in and out.
Okay. All right, yeah. Wolf. Okay, good to hear from you, Wolf. Have a good weekend now.
Make Athol Airport Parking your wash-and-go partner when parking at the airport. With no advance booking required, simply park your car in the designated Athol rental return spaces right next to the terminal. Hand your key to our valet desk, and while you're away, we'll wash your vehicle and return your car to the terminal for when you get back. For prices and our full range of services, including comprehensive valeting menu, just search Athol Airport Parking online. Athol Airport Parking, part of the trusted Athol Garage Group.
Manx Solar Electrical offer Wise solar and heating solutions for home and business. We're the Isle of Man's trusted experts in solar panels, Tesla battery storage and energy efficient heat pumps, helping you power your home sustainably and save money. Call 665800 or visit manxsolarelectrical.com.
Come to Manx Solar Electrical.
Our island's energy reimagined.
When you want the
Preparing for your GCSEs or A-levels and thinking about your future, or looking to reskill into a new industry, choose from full-time and part-time courses or earn while you learn through an apprenticeship. From engineering, art and sport, to business, IT, animal management, forensics and lots more, University College Isle of Man offer a variety of further education, degree level and postgraduate courses. We'll help set you up for a successful and rewarding future. Visit ucm.ac.im.
Calling all Manx farmers!
Manx Rock Limited now offer an all-in-one line spreading service. Manx Rock supply, deliver and spread your line. So make life easy. Get in touch today. For rates and to book your line spreading slot, call Manx Rock now on 828845. That's 828845. Or visit Manx Rock Limited on Facebook and see what we can do for you.
Coming up, we have another winning weekend here on Manx Radio, and this time we're teaming up with Walton's to give you the chance to win a 65-inch TV. To win, all you have to do is head to the Manx Radio Facebook page across the weekend and work out the TV show in question. And then listen out for the window of opportunity to open and text your answer to 166177. There'll be chances to text in right through Saturday and Sunday. And you can head to Walton's at the Isle of Man Business Park. Follow them on Facebook or have a look at the latest special offers at waltons.im. Don't miss your chance to win a 65-inch TV this weekend with Waltons and your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And Juan as well. Hi, Juan.
How are you, Andy? I'm enjoying an American Thanksgiving here, so we'll be eating turkey for the next week. Just on a few points, I listened to Howard there about the weight of the vehicles. That's kind of what I said last week about information being withheld when I was talking about wind turbines and renewable energy. They don't necessarily give you all the information because they want to sell the product, so there's certain information that does get held back, I'm sure.
But the trouble is, Ewan, eventually that information will come out, won't it?
Yes, it will. And then the proverbial hits the fan then, doesn't it? And then everyone's up in arms, but because they don't tell the truth to start with, and that's half the problem. And as Julian was saying there about probably forcing universal basic income support on people, which has been mulled about for a long time now. I think it's actually they're actually testing it in some areas. But I didn't get I was on too late yesterday. I didn't get a chance to get on to ask Alex Allenson where we're heading with blockchain and where we're heading with the fiat currency system, which is they're trying to kill off at the moment and turn us all into crypto, and they're doing in America stable coins. So I wanted to know his opinion on where that was going with blockchain. But on to the two other subjects, the airport radar. I did mention this, I think, quite a few months ago in here. There's an internal document, I'm not sure Newark department it's in, saying that a new airport radar will have to be factored in with the wind turbines, because the one that's there now will not suffice with wind turbines. So I'm just wondering if that cost is actually being factored into the cost of putting these wind turbines in.
Well, somebody's got to pay for it, haven't they?
Exactly, yeah, yeah. So, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, it's us that pays for it. But again, they're fudging figures and hiding figures on the extra cost of what this is going to be. And just on the Ramsey Harbour, I love Ramsey, absolutely love Ramsey, love walking around Ramsey, had an affinity with it. And I remember when I was running the Murray Park back in 1986, and I think a chap called Captain Hadley back then was talking about the marina, and there was plans going around. So this goes back a long, long time. The last time I walked around there a couple of months ago, I walked up River Road, which takes you up to the Murray Park. And it's like a boat graveyard there, like Douglas Harbour used to be. It's a mess. And Ramsey's got so much going for it. I mean, it's on the flat. You can walk around everywhere. I walk them beaches right the way out to the dog mills. But that does need some investment in Ramsey.
Okay.
It does need something.
All right. Have a good weekend now. John in Ramsey says it could be that the situation with the proposed wind farm off Laxey will be halted due to the concerns about the UK MOD. We must push harder to install a wind farm at Erie Stain as a priority, says John. Oh, that's it. Right, we're open line on Monday. Actually, we're open line all next week. A week on Wednesday, QE2 High School in Peel will be at. A fortnight today, the Chief Minister will be on. And just before Christmas, Nick Kay, the pharmacist, will be on. Christmas colds and flu. Lovely. That's it. Thanks to Chris on the phones. Have a fantastic weekend now.